Thank you, Steve. It's Pete McMurray in for John Williams in the Skyline Studios. John is back tomorrow. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. The DuPage County Health Department has a website. If you have questions on any health-related issues, go to DuPageHealth.org. Let's welcome back to the show our psychotherapist, Amy Morin. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Amy, we just had Alan Hunter on, one of the original VJs from MTV, and we talked about the 40th anniversary. I'd love to go back to spring break. I always say I'm a beer away from college. What does that say about a Pete McMurray?
I'd say this says you're probably very similar to a lot of other people.
We all just want to get away, don't we?
Yes, I think right now more than ever.
We had Dan Harris from ABC News on last hour, and he talked about his meditation app and just having quiet time. How important is that nowadays to just kind of listen to our own thoughts or just clear our mind?
It's really important. And for a lot of people, it seems like, well, I get too much quiet time, especially right now. But the truth is, it's not just about being alone. It's about being alone with your thoughts. So it's about shutting off your notifications on your phone for a few minutes, or unplugging, or actually turning off the TV and not being surrounded by background noise, too.
Is there, I feel like with our phones, they're just tethered to us 24/7. If there is downtime, we're all staring down at our phones.
That's it, exactly. And we're just so bombarded with news, and there's just constant something going on all the time, whether it's the jingles that we get when we get an alert, and it sort of gives us this positive feedback that we should continue, because who knows, maybe you're going to get an email any second now telling you good news. So we stay tethered to them, but we really need to give our minds and our bodies a break from that just for a little while every day.
When you wake up in the morning, do you check your phone right away, or do you have some quiet time? What's your routine as a psychotherapist?
Well, to be honest, so just like many people, I use my phone as my alarm clock, so it is next to my bed, and I've written articles, done studies, done everything on the fact that you shouldn't sleep with your phone in your room, but I have to admit, I do tend to sleep with it next to my bed, and I turn over to shut the alarm off, and sometimes I do check my email if there's email sitting there. It's one of those things, even though I know it's not good for me, knowing it and doing it, two separate things.
I do the exact same thing. I use my phone as an alarm, but I still have my alarm clock there so I can see what time it is if I wake up during the night and I don't have to look at my phone, if that makes sense.
You know, it's so convenient for most of us because it's just, you know, you charge your phone at night, you might as well leave it right there. But on nights when I've not slept with it in my room, I have to say I feel better, and just not scrolling through it before I go to bed and knowing I don't have to wake up and stare at it too. So it's probably one of those things I should have on my to-do list of things to start doing more of, which would be leaving it in another room at night.
I have 3 books on my nightstand. I am not kidding. And I've been wanting to read during the self-quarantine. And I start looking at my phone at night, and next thing you know, I'm not reading. And that's a big problem to have your phone in your room, because you're always checking your phone. You're right.
It is. I mean, when they've done studies on people who said, you know, no, I always sleep with my phone in my room, just leaving it in another room, they felt less anxious, less depressed, they felt happier within 1 week. And then when the study was over, most people said, this feels so good, I'm probably going to keep doing it.
I don't think I would feel nervous that it's in another room. It's like, oh my God, what if I got an email? What if somebody sent me a text and I don't respond right away? Well, it's not a big deal.
That's the thing. And I think, you know, if we expose ourselves to that of knowing, all right, at 3 a.m, whatever emails come in are probably not that important. They can wait until morning anyway. It's not like you're going to reply to emails at 3 a.m. anyway. So just give ourselves that break and to remind ourselves that we're not going to miss out on anything important while we're sleeping.
Right, while we're sleeping. Psychotherapist Amy Morin on the phone with us. You can go to Amy's website, Amy Morin, MORINLCSW.com. 2 things that I wanted to talk about today with you. Number 1, depression and anxiety, because they probably go hand in hand. And number 2, relationships everywhere being tested during the self-quarantine. Marriages are being tested. I wanted to talk about that. But first, depression and anxiety. I mean, there's a lot of seniors listening right now that haven't left their house. They feel isolated. What can we do to help them?
So, you know, if you know somebody that you are worried about, obviously just call them on the phone, talk to them, ask if they need anything, check in with them. And you might write them a letter, you know, to get a letter in the mail right now is really exciting for most of us. Send a card, but just make sure that you make it clear that you're not just calling to say, hey, how are you, as a greeting, but that you really want to know, how are you doing? And you might frame it in different ways. Ask somebody, how's your stress level these days? Or you might open up a little bit about yourself and say, you know, gosh, I'm kind of struggling with depression being inside so much. How about you? But make it clear that you really want to know. You're not just asking to be polite.
Well, I feel like a lot of us are depressed. I get depressed during the self-quarantine. Is there anything that we can do? I mean, I don't know. Is there, to take our mind off things, put us in a better mood, what do we do?
Yeah, there's so many things you can do right now. So one thing is just look at, what are your coping strategies? For most of us, when life is normal, we tend to, say, go out with friends, or we go to the gym, or we go outside. A lot of those things we can't do right now. So you want to say, well, what am I turning to manage my stress? Maybe you're eating too much. Maybe you're turning to alcohol. Maybe you're doing some things that make you feel worse. A lot of us have developed some stranger sleeping habits during all of this. We stay up later. We sleep in a later than we normally do. We sleep too much, or maybe you can't sleep. So you just want to say, what am I doing, and what can I do differently? So it might be saying, my new coping strategy is going to be reading a book, listening to music. Maybe I call someone. What are the things I can do? And then also just make sure that those things you're reaching for aren't creating longer problems, bigger problems for yourself, like eating too much or turning to alcohol. Those sorts of things will obviously introduce new problems into your life that make you feel worse over time.
I feel like a lot of us, our coping strategies are to stay busy or be even busier.
Right. And for a lot of, that's why we're seeing people on social media talking about how they've been cleaning out their closets and their houses are looking better than ever. And distraction's a great thing sometimes. And we feel good when we're productive. So just accomplishing something like cleaning out a closet can help you to feel better. But you just also want to make sure that you're taking time to take care of yourself, that you're taking care of the things that you need to. There's a lot of problems we can't solve right now. We can't fix the economy. If you've lost your job, you can't really get a new one at the moment.
Right.
So there's some barriers to being productive. So then we try to find little things we can do. And that's not necessarily wrong. But you also just want to make sure that you're taking some time out to just be alone with your thoughts, too. You don't have to be busy all the time.
How important is it to write things down? And what do you recommend writing down?
So writing things down sometimes helps us make sense of things. So we're really worried about something, you got a million thoughts running through your head, it's hard to be logical about it. Putting it on paper can raise your logic, which balances out a lot of those emotions and helps you see things differently. So sometimes I recommend people sit and write down the things that they're worried about. Put it on paper, and when you look at it, you might see things a little bit differently. Or maybe you write down, what are 10 things I can do to make my day a little bit better? You can problem solve that way. And sometimes writing things down helps you figure out, do I need to solve the problem or do I need to solve how I feel about the problem? Because not all problems have a solution. So I think really writing things down helps you make sense of things. And I don't think you have to keep a big thick notebook or a journal that you keep forever. You might just write something down on a piece of paper and throw it away when you're done.
Because we had this conversation, I worry about writing things down because I don't want people to find my innermost thoughts. So you suggested write things down and then toss it.
Absolutely. I think, a lot of us don't want to keep like an adult version of a diary.
No.
Where you hide it under the mattress and worry about your spouse reading it or anybody reading it someday.
The last time I don't want to forget this. The last time we had you on, one of the greatest things you said on the radio was schedule worry time for yourself, which I thought was genius. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, it's there's studies that show that it works. So for people who worry 24/7, what you can do is you schedule time to worry. You set aside 15 minutes a day to just sit and worry your little heart out. So maybe you say from 7 to 7:15 at night is my worrying time. When you catch yourself worrying any other time, in the morning, at lunchtime, you just remind yourself it's not time to worry yet. And then when your worrying time rolls around 7 o'clock, you sit down and you worry. And maybe you write it down, but maybe you just sit and think. And then when your time is up at 7:15, you remind yourself, okay, my worrying time is done. Go back to your regular scheduled activities.
Right.
And studies will show over time, you can then condense your worrying to 15 minutes a day. So instead of worrying about stuff 24/7, you just worry for 15 minutes, and then it takes up a lot less of your brain power.
I think it's such a great idea, but and you suggested schedule your worry time late in the afternoon. Was it before or after dinner? What did
either
suggest?
Either one, only because during the day you're bound to worry, and if you scheduled your worry time say at 8 a.m., well then you have to wait till tomorrow, and for a lot of us that would feel too anxiety provoking. At noon one day, we'll have to wait till 8 a.m. tomorrow, but we can wait until later tonight, so 7 o'clock say, then I know, all right, I can worry later. But you also don't want to do it right before bedtime, because then it's hard to get your mind off of those worries before you try to fall asleep.
How do you schedule, or how do you change your mindset around if you have a scheduled time at 7 o'clock for your worry time from 7 to 7:15, and a worry comes about at 2 o'clock, or you get a bad phone call and you start worrying about it? How do you change your mindset to say, oh, can't worry about this right now, my worry time's at 7?
So, well, one is just telling yourself that, and something about when you give yourself permission to worry later, then you think, okay, I can put it off a little bit. And then if you're worried that you're going to forget to worry about that, just make a note of it. Write down, worry about the car payment or whatever it is that you're worried about. Maybe you keep a list. And then you want to change the channel in your brain so that you aren't just still thinking about the car payment or whatever you're worried about. So the best way to do that is to physically do something different. Get up off the couch and go do the dishes. Or maybe even give yourself a weird challenge, like I'm going to try to say the alphabet backwards as fast as I can. But do something purposely to get your brain off of perseverating on this worry.
That makes sense. So do the alphabet backwards. You're concentrating on the letters as you move backwards. I get it.
And I guarantee when you're trying to do that, you won't think about whatever you were worried about. It takes a lot of brain power to come up with the alphabet backwards.
I mean, we're all stressed. Even though we don't say we're stressed, there are certain times during this self-quarantine that we're all stressed out, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the people that say, oh, nothing bothers me, I'm like, well, you're just pretending that you don't. Obviously, you should be concerned right now, whether about your health, the finances, the state of the economy, other people. And there's some weird things going on in the world. So it's okay to be stressed out and concerned.
It is. It's just crazy. And can we pick up the phone and call relatives when we feel sad and depressed? That helps.
Oh, absolutely. I think sometimes the problem we get into is right now we feel like, well, nothing happened today, so I have nothing to say to anyone. So then we don't want to talk on the phone. Or we think, you know, I don't want to drag other people down, so I won't talk to them. But that can be a great mood booster. Call somebody up, talk about something completely different. Maybe you rehash something fun that happened or something that you have to look forward to. Or maybe you talk about how you're feeling, too, and just hearing somebody else who can relate can help you feel better as well.
Right. Wow. Just hearing you talk about this out loud is helping me. I'm sure it's helping a lot of people. Psychotherapist Amy Morin on the phone with us. 312-981-7200 is our phone line, also our text line. If you have a question for Amy, I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about marriages and relationships and what you can do to help us get through this whole thing as we spend a little bit too much together time. Okay, Amy?
Sounds good.
All right, quick break. It's 720 WGN. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. On the phone with us is psychotherapist Amy Morin. Let's talk about relationships. It's interesting, during the self-quarantine, no one thought that we'd be spending 24/7 with our spouses, so here we are. And we're all thinking the same thing. Oh my gosh, I'm running out of things to say, or my spouse is super mad at me. Where am I going to go? I can't really go anywhere.
Right. I'm finding so many people that are saying, you know, we're getting on each other's nerves, or we're both trying to work from home and my spouse is so loud, or I just can't find any time to myself. Whereas some people are saying, you know, I'm so lonely. Other people are saying, I can't get 5 minutes of peace and quiet. And a lot of spouses are just bickering over small things, the dirty dish in the sink, or they find themselves arguing about what to watch on TV. And it makes sense. We've been together a long time, and there's not a lot of outlets that we have to rely on anymore. So it makes sense that people are getting on each other's nerves.
Oh my God, the dumb fights that we've had at our house. I'm sure people are going through these. The dishes were one of them. Taking out the garbage. Why are we taking it out so much? How come we're doing so much laundry right now? Yeah, we're going through that.
Yeah, and I think you're right in the same place where so many couples are right now, and especially the ones that have kids at home suddenly who are out of school and the whole family's home all day long, every day, and they don't have a lot of the activities and things that they're used to doing.
Oh, it's just crazy. So what do we do? Help couples everywhere that are listening right now, Amy.
So one thing is, you know, we tend to look at what should my partner be doing differently to make my life better. But we can't control what our partner does. We can only control what we do. So a question to ask yourself is, you know, how am I doing? What could I do differently? How can I be a better partner right now? Rather than trying to focus on why your spouse should change.
Well, why is she so loud on Zoom? That's what I don't understand. Can you close the door and put on headphones? Why is so difficult?
And you can have those conversations about, you know, it's tough for me when you're really loud on Zoom. But you just want to make sure that you're doing it in a polite and respectful way. Obviously, when we're frustrated, the words don't tend to come out as kind, or we just, you know, yell from the other room to be quiet, or we get snarky and condescending. So you just want to have those conversations, but you want to do it in a polite manner.
All right. So how do we get there? How do we look at ourselves? What should we do as individuals?
If you woke up every day and you thought, well, what am I grateful for about my partner? That can put you in the right mindset. So instead of thinking of all the things they're doing wrong right now, let's just figure out what are some things you appreciate about them. And then ask yourself, what's something I can do today to be the best partner I can? And to recognize my partner is going through a tough time just like I am. So my job is to be the best partner that I can. How might I do that? What might that look like? What am I going to do today? And then if at the end of the day you checked in with yourself and just thought, how did I do today? What could I do better tomorrow? I guarantee it'll make a huge difference in your relationship.
We just got a text message. What's the best way to deal with a breakup in the middle of a pandemic and going back to living alone?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, yeah. I think I'm hearing from a lot of people about breakups or people who are like, oh my gosh, I'm quarantined with somebody and I'm pretty sure we're not going to make it through this. So talk about awkward. So I think, you know, obviously the whole world is weird right now. And so your life is weird if you're going to go through a breakup and things are going to be different afterwards. So I think it's about finding that balance of letting yourself go through grief and all of the tough emotions that come with a breakup, but not letting yourself get stuck there to recognize, gosh, I'm so sad. I don't even want to leave the house even when I'm allowed to, or I'm just so angry that I'm starting to take out my frustration on other people, and to really just take a look at what do I need to do to cope better and take care of my emotions.
We beat ourselves up because we feel like failures, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes we're just angry. We want to blame other people for the problems, or we want to blame our partner, or blame the state of the world on why our relationship didn't work. Tons of emotions coming up for people right now along those lines.
Well, there's people that are listening. They are beating themselves up, and then they, you know, it's a slippery slope. Then you get depressed, and then you're anxious. How do we not beat ourselves up? What can we do?
Yes, the first is to recognize when you engage in toxic self-blame, it's definitely not helpful to you or anybody else. And one of the things is to look at when you do make a mistake, do you think I made a bad choice or I'm a bad person? And that shift in mindset makes all the difference in the world. After all, who's going to make a better choice next time? The person that thinks that they made a mistake that just meant they made a bad choice, or the person who thinks I'm a bad person? When you think I'm a bad person, you think you're not capable of doing any better, and I guarantee you'll keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you're probably right. How about the tough conversations people have to have with their spouse right now about money, maybe moving, or, you know, those life conversations that they're trying to put off, but they're going to have? How do they do that? How do they get to step one?
I think just acknowledging this is going to be tough, but it doesn't mean I shouldn't do it just to have this conversation. Because I think so often we think, oh, it's too anxiety provoking. I can't do it. And we put it off. And the longer you put it off, the harder it becomes. And to know that just because you're upset doesn't mean you shouldn't have the conversation, or just because you're sad, or just because it might upset your spouse doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. That a lot of us need to have those tough conversations right now, and you can give yourself a little pep talk, take a deep breath and do it. And our tendency sometimes is to minimize how our spouse feels. So if our spouse says, you know, gosh, that's horrible that we have to move, or that's going to be terrible that we can't afford to keep some of our things, we want to say, oh, it's not a big deal, or you'll get over it. Well, that makes people feel worse. You just want to acknowledge, yes, this is hard. I totally get it. And even if you aren't in the same boat where you don't feel as bad about something, it's not wrong that your spouse does. So just validating somebody's feelings goes a really long way toward helping them feel better.
Sometimes when couples get together and they have these tough conversations, they start getting into an argument right away. And I think that's a self-defense mechanism where they don't have to get into the conversation, because the argument starts and then the real conversation stops. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely, right? If you can deflect it, if you can start arguing about something, if you can bring up, well, you always do this, or you never do that, and we bring up old times and past hurts, then it gives us another excuse to delay it. And then we think, well, we shouldn't talk about that subject because we argue too much. So then again, you delay it and try to convince yourselves you don't need to address it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and a lot of couples keep score, too. Well, I did this, you need to do that.
Right, which never goes well. Because the truth is, you know, we always think that we deserve better or that the other person could have done more. And when we keep score, it just causes us to become bitter, angry, resentful, and creates all sorts of emotions that are definitely not helpful in the end.
Bitter, angry, resentful. That's one of my old girlfriends from college. I'm glad you brought that up. That is so funny. I mean, it's a tough time right now. It really is. And we're just looking for answers. And thank you so much for coming on. It's just, we all need help. We do.
Absolutely. And there's no shame in talking to somebody or reaching out for help to help you manage this difficult time right now.
And one of the things that I do, and maybe it'll help other people, is I write a list for everything. I have paper in my car. I have paper on my nightstand. I have tons of lists right now in the studio. I just make lists of everything. I'm a list guy. And if I have to have a tough conversation with my wife, Sarah, I'll use bullet points just to make sure that I don't waver from the original content.
I think that is so wise because it gives us more of a way to be objective. So often we want to bring up all of our emotions and all of the 800 reasons why we're bringing something up rather than just sticking to the facts. And sometimes you can just stick to the facts, say, I feel this way, here's the reasons why, but you don't necessarily need to bring up, you know, 8,000 reasons, other reasons why, or you don't need to justify a lot of things. And we try to do that sometimes when our emotions get high.
And one of the things during self-quarantine is these text messages. When you send a text message, the other person doesn't see your emotions, or if you're joking in some way, or if you're wording something differently, but they read it differently. Text messages are the worst if you're trying to get a point across. You need to pick up the phone and actually call someone so they can hear your voice.
Right. We do these silly things where we try to put smiley faces after things, you know, in a text message just to try to make it clear, you know, I'm not mad at you or something like that. And then I think sometimes we come across as condescending and things get misinterpreted. So absolutely have conversations face to face or over the phone when you can.
I feel like this is a therapy session for me, Amy. You're the best. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Amy Morin, psychotherapist, and one of the greatest things that she said is schedule your worry time after dinner, 15 minutes every single day. And again, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. If you need help, the DuPage County Health Department has a website. If you have questions on any health-related issues, go to dupagehealth.org. That is dupagehealth.org.